listening to Good Morning Marlow on Marlow FM 97.5.
My next guest is Jo Tuffrey. Jo, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me this morning.
It's great. It's great to hear you and see you here in the studio. So you're here because you're talking about a bit of fitness. I mean, I love fitness. All my listeners know that I love doing fitness type things. And I love going to gym. I love going out for a run. I love going for a bike ride. But I've never done Pilates. So I am here for you to tell me, to start off with, what on earth is Pilates? I mean, you're a Pilates instructor, yes?
I am. I'm going to enlighten you to the Pilates world. So, but like yourself, I've been in the fitness industry with 30 years, dare I say it. So yep. Originally a PE teacher, secondary school PE teacher.
Right, so, here in Marlow?
No, it was in London, a secondary school in London, right. So which I really enjoyed. But at the same time, I had a personal training business, and I'm very local. I'm Marlow born and bred.
Right.
My first personal training business was at Bissam Abbey.
Oh, that's very handy.
Absolutely, and obviously that has changed through the years, Bissam Abbey, to where it is now. And when I was personal training and a school teacher, I also, in my spare time, which I had very little, I learned to become a Pilates teacher. And I've been teaching Pilates 22 years now. And I love it. Because it's just, I'm a purist in the fact that I do classical Pilates, but I put everything into the classes and Pilates. And Pilates is over. It was invented, or it became... in the world from a man called Joseph Pilates, and he was interned in the war, and in order to help injured soldiers, he came up with a practice that helped them. So, and through the years, obviously it's evolved. You have your classical Pilates, of where there is just 34 exercises, and you have your classical Pilates teachers, and then people like me that have been doing it years that put everything into it. So I bring into play the weights, you know, my personal training, just basically strength, stamina and suppleness. You cover all those bases.
That's fantastic. So Pilates is a class. It's not a one-to-one thing. How many people do you typically have in one of your classes?
Again, it can vary, but typically you are, I mean, if you're affiliated with people then, or conglomerates, it's 12 people. It can be one-to-one. It can be classes. We have machines. We have reformer Pilates. But my main thing is online. So that's right. Where you can have, you know, thousands of people, and that's what I've been doing over 5 years now online. I was lucky enough to go on, or unlucky enough before the pandemic, so I was established online beforehand, and it's just grown and grown, and I call them my Pilates, my workout family, and I love it. So, and yeah, they're all lovely, everyone's like-minded, it's great.
Brilliant. So how does online Pilates work? Because presumably the people who are attending your classes online,
yes,
can watch you doing things, but you can't see them, or can you?
No, I can't see them, but then I think it comes down to the teaching, and if you're a good teacher, then you, and again, being in it for so many years, you know where people will go wrong instinctively,
yeah.
And as you can probably hear, I talk a lot, so I'm very much a verbal teacher, and so again, from my teaching background, you know, some people learn from observing, so online, obviously they're observing you, you then go with the verbal teaching as well, so you can make sure that gets across as well. So it's just online, it's 30 minute classes. And on my website I've got 30 minute classes, 10 minute classes. I've got an educational section where if people, when they write to me, which I respond to every single email as well, when they write to me, it's getting more and more difficult, I have to say, though. When they write to me and they've got a specific problem, I will guide them to the educational section if it's something more specific. But like I said, you know, it covers absolutely everything, and all weights, bands, balls, we chuck it all in.
sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
And in terms of the face-to-face classes, you do those as well still? Or
I do. They're fewer now. I've been at Danesfield House for 22 years, so I love that. I've worked a lot of the clubs around here, from Clifton, Stoke Park, Marlow Club, the Quad Club. So again, I've been around the block a little bit.
So I've been in quite a few gyms around here as well. So yes, I know all those those places.
But variety is lovely as well, isn't it? Yeah, variety is a spice of life. Just to see different people. And, you know, I was chatting to you earlier, my one-to-ones, you know, I have my clients that I've seen 25 years and they're all in their late 80s now. And I see them twice a week and it's all about moving. And that's, I think, for anyone, it's about moving, which is really important.
So my own fitness business, I specialise in people who are over 50.
Right.
And some of them are quite a long way over 50, including myself.
Yeah.
But at what age should people be to do Pilates?
Oh, gosh, any age. So when I was a school teacher, and I've been into actually Burford, where my niece works, I've been in there and you know, been teaching the little ones. I think posture it should be taught from an early age, especially because, you know, children now with, you know, the books and, you know, all the laptops, I should say now, I'm going back from my time at school when we used to carry the books, it's the laptops now.
They don't have satchels anymore, right?
No, they don't.
They have backpacks now.
Exactly, yes.
Satchels in our day.
Yeah, but also I used to work at the Redgrave Clinic with Anne Redgrave, and so Steve Redgrave's wife, and I used to be the Pilates teacher in the clinic, so people used to, the osteopaths and the physios used to diagnose. I never crossed that line, and then I would put the exercises to their diagnosis. And the amount of children coming in, and now, you know, the older generation, we're on our phones, we're on our laptops, so posture, you know, that I'm seeing is just really going down, so we need to be heightened to that, we need to be aware of that a little bit more and put the exercises to it as we all sit up a little bit straighter in there. It's like, oh, look at our posture now.
Actually, talking about that, that's something I really want to look into. Maybe after the next bit of music, we'll talk more about the different components that go together to make a Pilates session.
Okay.
And I can contrast that with, say, a personal training session.
Yes.
And see how it differs. I think posture is something that people need as they get older, need more attention to get older, and is perhaps not top of everybody's fitness list of things to do.
No.
We're joined in studio by Joe Tuffrey, and we're talking things to do with fitness in Marlow, and particularly Pilates, which is something I don't know much about. So, Joe, when we do a personal training session, which is something I know a bit about, we tend to structure it into sort of three areas. Some cardio activities to get the heartbeat up and hopefully do a bit of fat burning. Then some resistance training to hopefully work on strengthening the muscles and maintaining muscle mass. And also some stretching and some posture work at the end. But you say in Pilates you kind of integrate all three together, don't you?
Yes. I mean, the way that I teach, again, been in it so long, I put everything into my Pilates classes. So we will do some weights. It depends on the person that I'm teaching, but on the online stuff, you know, we have hundreds of classes, and there'd be weights classes, resistant band classes, and obviously every class has the beginner, you know, the beginning of the class, the middle of the class, and the end of the class, where you have your warm-up, your main bit. But when I'm choreographing the class, say it's a band class, it will be all the resistance stuff, so that will work on muscle, you know, getting the muscle mass. But I think what's really important is that it's very prevalent at the minute, a lot of people, especially women in their 50s, and menopause is very much out there. People talk about gaining, you know, working on the muscle mass, because obviously we have more muscle, we burn more calories in a sedentary position. But we also need to remember the stamina, like you're saying with personal training, you know, the cardiovascular, the suppleness. It has to be, I think for me, every class has to encapsulate that. So when I'm thinking of the choreography for the classes online, every single class, whether it be strength training, whether it be suppleness, it will encapsulate all three, which is important.
Yeah, it's like the famous fitness three-legged stool, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If you don't have all three legs, the thing's
absolutely
very unstable.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't want to be too strong, you don't want to be too supple, you want to make sure. So I do monthly programs, and so when I'm choreographing the monthly programs for the week, so in a week, I will make sure there be a weights class working with our own body weight is so important. You know, I used to see people in the gym bench pressing, but they can't do a press-up. You know, they can't work with their own body weight, and that's so important. And especially, you know, you were saying, Chris, that you train people, you know, that are old and 50, and, you know, we were giggling earlier, we're all over 50 in this room. But it's so important, especially me and my elderly clients, to work, you know, triceps, for instance, when they might fall over, you know, they have the confidence to get back up to work. You know, as we get older, you see, you know, people, what I call soggy bottoms, we become soggy bottom because we lose the muscle mass in our glutes. And if we haven't the muscle mass in our buttocks, which supports the spine, which is so important. So again, you know, gear, you have to train, you know, obviously it's different one-to-one because you gear it specifically for that person and their needs. But in online stuff, you have to encapsulate everything within, you know, we've got everything within the club to make sure every, you know, tentacle on the octopus is covered, basically. Yeah. So, you know, you get that, you know, you are appealing to everyone and what they might need.
That's fascinating. And just before the music break, we started to talk about posture. Mm. Because one thing I've noticed amongst people these days is posture is getting rubbish.
Yes.
Brackets, including myself, close
yeah.
brackets.
Yeah.
So I don't exclude myself.
All right, Chris. It looks all right. You get the tick from me.
That's okay. That's good. And is that really, do you think, to do with the fact that the way lifestyle is changing, that people are spending more time sitting at desks, looking at laptops and looking at Facebook and so on, while hunched over a desk?
I do. And I think obviously during the pandemic, we were at our desk a little bit more, myself included. Everything has gone online. But I also think, you know, because of the world at the minute, I think we're a lot more anxious. And obviously when we're more anxious or we're stressed, you know, cost of living crisis, we go into that fetal position. You know, we get tight chested, we get round shouldered. So I think it's everything that makes us into that rounded shouldered position. And so it's knowing that we need to open the chest, we need to work the back muscles, and looking at the postural muscles. Our body is very much like life. We want the quick fixes, and our body will take the path of least resistance, which is the easiest pathway of movement. But over time, that pathway might not be the best way of moving, because we're working the muscles that shouldn't be working, we're working them. So those deep postural muscles, we lose them. So we need to work from the inside out and work the muscles that we really should be working. When you look at a baby, when they're born and they first sit up, you know, they sit up beautifully on the floor. But then as soon as we get onto the chairs, you know, in the Western world, we become very tight in the hip flexors through the front of the hips. So we tend to, again, that exacerbates that fetal position of going in on ourselves. So we need to open up and bloom.
Open up and bloom.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
What a good description.
It's like when I walk down Marla High Street, you know, I see people sort of like looking at me, and if they've been to my class or if they haven't been for sort of like, you know, a couple of weeks, they're sort of like, look, and they're make excuses, well, I haven't been to your class, or their posture will change. Like, oh, there's Joe. I'm like, it's okay, I don't mind.
I'm not checking up on you, honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't got my spies out looking at you. How about stretching? Is stretching an important part of Pilates and the work that you do with your clients?
Absolutely. Because again, you know, when we stretch, you need the muscles that we have want to work at their optimum length. So, you know, we as a body, we have an optimum length of muscles within our body. So if we, like for instance, if we keep weight training, then we're going to just shorten the muscles. And so the capacity to get injuries is increased. Where if we then lengthen the muscles to how they should be lengthened, the optimum length, we have a wider range of length, and yeah, definitely stretching is so important. So to again open up, because if we just keep contracting, you know, it's that tripod of strength, suppleness and stamina.
Yeah. I often find that people think that they have to go to a gym to get some exercise in, and I'm a big one for saying you can do it anywhere.
Absolutely.
Just walk somewhere, walk a bit quicker perhaps.
Absolutely.
Than working before, and walk in a better posture. And the best way to do that is just think about your shoulders, lift your shoulders up, move them back, and then drop them down again.
So, absolutely.
So your head goes up forwards, you take bigger strides, you're more confident, and you look, you know, less and less like a person who is getting very old in life.
It absolutely. And even on my Instagram the other week, I did the simplest of a scarf stretch, lifting the scarf above the head, putting it, you know, behind your back, and just to open up through the shoulders. And you can be doing that while you're looking at the trees and looking around. People might look at you a bit odd, but it works. It really, you know, little life hacks, that's what it's about, that you can implement in everyday life, is just so important. But posture is aging, and if we haven't got that nice posture, we do age with that.
And it does make you feel and make you look a bit older than you really are if you don't have that posture.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it is, you know, because we contract around the heart, you know, the chest muscles become tight. So, you know, as soon as we open up, it does give you that, you know, openness and, you know, and the more of a happy feeling when you open up.
So you've been, as you say, training clients in and around Marlow for quite a few years.
Yes, yeah. So I obviously at school at Fox's Peace, and then I went to university. But before I went to university, I learned aerobics, step, all the sort of like the 80s things, aqua aerobics. So then in my school holiday or university holidays, I used to come back and teach step at Court Gardens and aqua aerobics. And then it was actually the lovely Dawn O'Shaughnessy that owns Sunrise Health and Fitness.
Right.
And I bought the step business off her. And then she went more into the health and beauty. So I have a lot to thank Dawn for, and fondly remember Dawn. Love Dawn. And she also gave me the confidence to do what I'm doing now. So again, I have so much to thank her for. And then when I finished university, obviously was a school teacher. But came back and been around Marlow. Yeah, a long
That's
time.
Great.
Yeah.
And have I seen you on telly, or is that my imagination?
I have. I featured on This Morning a couple of times.
Right.
So, and was recommended by This Morning for my app and my online workouts. And been in national newspapers. It's all been good.
Excellent.
But I'm so passionate about it. I love it. And I can honestly say, I've still got the enthusiasm I had then. So it's all about just helping people and making people feel good about themselves, however little that is.
Right. In terms of going on Good Morning, did you find that got some new clients for you?
It did. Yes, it did. Definitely, because obviously you get the national exposure. But I think it's I loved it. I love going on. Obviously you do get more because you're out there. But again, people are very, they stick because people might just see you and join. But if you haven't got the gravitas behind it, they won't stick around.
Right.
So I've had some lovely emails from people that joined from them. It's been good.
I always find, certainly with yourself and with myself, that the people who work in the fitness industry, you're going to be successful if you're passionate about it.
Absolutely.
And if you're enthusiastic about it.
Absolutely.
If you just treat it like a job because you're doing it because you're going to get paid at the end of the week or the month, it's not going to work.
No.
It's got to be something that you really want to do, and you do it for nothing.
Absolutely.
Because it's good to you.
Yeah.
If you're passionate, if you're enthusiastic about it, that really flows into the clients, that really flows into my personal training clients, and I'm sure it flows into your
Pilates
clients as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I've been told off in the past, don't do things for free all the time, Joe, with my partners. But this is it. I would if I could, because I am just so passionate about it. That's absolutely, you're right. It's which is great, and long may that continue. But when you see that you're just helping people, and the feedback, that I get, it's just so lovely. And I know, my partners from a business point of view, they're like, oh my God, the emails you get are just amazing. And everyone is just so lovely. The workout family, I feel like I know them from the correspondence that I have with the online family. It's just lovely.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to talk about a bit more is things that I don't know. I don't know much about Pilates at all. So you mentioned earlier on reformer Pilates, which I know involves a bit of equipment.
It does. It does.
Can you talk me through what that's all about?
Yeah. So reformer Pilates, again, really comes from Joseph Pilates many years ago, where he was interned, and he basically used a bed and springs on the bed. So a reformer is very, it looks like a torture machine.
It does.
Yeah. It's like a stretching rack. There is class. There's small classes. Again, I would advocate small classes for that, or one-to-one with reformer, definitely. It's just another way of doing Pilates. So, it's neither better or worse than, I'm very much a mat advocate, because I think, I used to have the reformer and used to teach the reformer, but exercise that I give on the reformer, you can't emulate that at home because you haven't got the reformer. So for me, it was more of an injury thing as well when I worked at the Redgrave Clinic. But, for me, you want to give exercises that you can do at home, on the mat, especially if people are coming from an injury point of view. You want to give them exercises that is going to help them with their injuries at home. Everything, again, nothing is bad in exercise. And again, instructors, you want to make sure that your instructor is well qualified.
Right, yes. I mean, there are people out there who are called cowboys, aren't there? Who,
yes.
Certainly in the personal training world. I mean, personal trainers who have got no qualifications at all in, in the field.
And I think, again, online, this is becoming more prevalent to me, is that anyone can set up online and say that they are, you know, fitness instructor, and, you know, you don't know that person. And because they, and especially with Instagram, you might have, you know, however many followers, and if you've got loads of followers, but then people might think, oh, you know, they're good. So I would really make sure that, that the person is qualified, and go with your gut. You know, as soon as you know, you start doing a class, then, you know, the knowledge that the instructor has, you will glean from, and you will, you know, you've got to cut the wheat from the chaff. You've got to make sure that, and that is what I'm so passionate about, is that I know I've got the I've got that 30 years of experience, and that is so important to me. Form, consistency in, you know, alignment. And like you say, you know, how can you check that when people are online? But, you know, you just know that you can put across alignment and form and consistency every single time. I look online and people are talking the game, but you're looking at their alignment when they're doing it. It's sometimes it's, do you, I just have to be like, oh my goodness me, you're going to be doing damage here. So just, you know, look around and just, you know, look at people's form. It's like in any industry, isn't it? You're going to get people that shout the loudest, but they might not have the weight behind them. So
I mean, Instagram is full of people doing exercises really, really badly.
Oh, don't. I know, I know.
I see some people doing like back squats on there, and I think, oh, no, your lower back is going to kill you.
Absolutely. But equally, it's a great platform for people that are, you know, great. So, you know, just sort of like look around and, yeah. But again, I do think sort of people, you know, if you do look at Instagram and, you know, a lot of people, it, you will see, you will weed out to the good.
Yeah.
Definitely. So
fascinating stuff.
I was born, honestly, my dad, we call him Mr. Music Man. Me and my sister have a love of music because of my dad. He collects records, and yeah, he's gone a little bit too heavy on the old Blue Note jazz at the minute, though. But but yeah, he is like John Peel. So can you remember the Marlowe, the record store in Marlowe that used to be at the top of the High Street?
Yeah.
So yeah, oh, how Marlowe has changed.
Well, he didn't own the record store.
No, he's been there nearly every day.
He lived there,
so he's always now going in the charity shops trying to find the album. So you know, that they don't realise is important.
So he's no doubt a vinyl is best man, isn't he?
Oh yeah, all the
CDs
way.
CDs or MP3s. Or...
Yeah, no, he's definitely not MP3s, but actually CDs, he doesn't mind, but no, vinyl all the way, yeah.
Makes sense. Now, we were talking earlier on about enthusiasm and passion for the fitness business, which you project and the clients get as well, don't they?
Yes.
But I've seen so many people who are giving instructions, even class instruction or one-to-one instruction in the gym, where it's pretty obvious they're not that engaged with the clients. There's no empathy, there's no rapport there. And I think that's not going to help anybody. It doesn't make it enjoyable for you as the instructor. It doesn't make the session enjoyable or beneficial for them as the client. And they probably won't be back next week if they don't enjoy it. So to what extent is making it fun as well as exercise? To what extent is that important to you?
Very important. And when I do the online classes, I don't set out at the beginning of the session thinking, oh, I've got to make this fun. But I talk, I'll be doing the exercises, and it's almost a distraction. I will talk about, you know, everyday life things that might happen in the class because they're all shot in real time. So there's no editing. It's literally what you see is what you get. And so, you know, for instance, if a bin man walks past the window, you know, I'll have a little laugh about that. Or, you know, something might happen within the class that I'll think about. You know, I'll talk about books, I'll talk about films. And so it's engaging, because then when the workout family get in touch with me on email, they say, what was that book, Joe? Or, you know, that film, I saw that film. And it just, it's about just wanting more. So you become, you know, I do get the emails of like, oh, it feels like you're in the room with me, because, you know, well,
that's a nice thing.
Absolutely. And so I'm just me.
Yeah.
So, and you know, hopefully that's what people like. So you can't, and I think, again, you can't be anything but, because people will see through that. And so, you know, hopefully my love of what I do, and I care about what I do, and I care about, I'll always think when the cameras start rolling, I would just think of the person behind that, or when they're in their living room or kitchen or bedroom working out with me, I'm speaking to them, and I want to, you know, have a laugh with them, and, you know, say the funny things, everyday life things that happen, and there is quite a few in my life. So it's engaging with them, and then, you know, they make it consistent because they want to come back in more for more and think, oh God, what's she been up to this week? What's happened?
And all your online sessions, they're always live from your end? It's not a pre-recorded event?
So we record. I do monthly programs, and each week two new classes go out. So they're pre-recorded, but they're shot in real time.
Right.
So as I said, it's like they're live, basically. So, you know, when my counting goes awry, every personal trainer knows that.
Absolutely. How many fingers have I got?
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's all about consistency and making people come back for more. And like I said, keeping it different as well. So my stock line is, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get next. And
right.
That's it. So that when they press play, it can be the suppleness class, it can be the weights class, it can be the ball class. You know, it's not, oh, she's doing that again. Oh, she's doing that again. Oh, she's doing that. And then, you know, because you won't keep coming back for more. It's like, oh, what's she doing today? Oh, what's she doing today? Just, oh, no, she's doing that.
Yeah. It must be harder. Not harder, because I know I can tell from your character it comes over naturally, but it's harder being fun and building empathy and rapport, if you say that word again, with a distant audience if you're online all the time, because you can't actually get anything back from the audience. I mean, if I'm doing a personal training one-to-one, I can have a joke with the guy or the girl I'm working with. I can see how they're getting on. Obviously, I can correct their form, obviously correct their timing, correct their breathing, all sorts of things I can influence. But always have a joke with them and always smile and make sure they're happy, and make sure they want to come back for more. Because the key thing about certainly personal training is if you come and see a personal trainer for an hour a week, which is fairly common, that is like way under 1% of your life, or 1% of your week. So to think that you're going to change anything massively in that 1% of time is pretty remote, to be honest. There are 168 hours in a week, and I always tell my clients that your fitness project is going to be based in the success of it on what happens in the other 167, not the one that you're with me. I mean, I can tell you what to do in those other 167, but you have to do it yourself.
I think that's selling yourself short, and I think in personal training and, you know, on the online fitness, because I think sometimes that 1 hour is the most important for people in their life.
Yeah. But,
and, you know, many a time, you know, when I train a wife and a husband, you know, the wife will be saying to the husband, you've got to do this, got to do this. And then I might say, and she's like, well, he listens to you. So, and I think people, it's important that people will listen to you because you have the credibility, you have the experience, and I think that just that 1 hour, I think, will make all the difference, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week, because it's where people can, when they train, they lay themselves open as well, whether that be online, it's their time for them. They've set that time aside, so that's really important. And that's why, you know, having the empathy some classes, having the fun some classes. So I think it is, you know, yes, of course, you know, with diet and all that, and, you know, doing other exercise, but for that, I think it's they're super important. And I think, you know, for people coming in, it's important. And I think, you know, you sell yourself short, Chris.
Okay.
I think they will love that hour with you, and you will be imparted on their life.
Well, they do love their hour.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Jo, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. I've absolutely loved it. And also because we're in the library, and I can remember coming here when I was little and sitting down and listening to the stories. So, yeah, no, thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed it.
That's great. If people want to find out more about your classes and more about what you do, how can they find you? I'm sure you're all over the socials, but perhaps maybe a website or an email.
It's jotuffery.com. That's my website.
And Jo Tuffery being spelt?
J-O-T-U-F-F Freddie R-E-Y.com.
Right.
And also on Instagram, Jo Tuffery Pilates. So, but if people Google Jo Tuffery, they will see me.
That's brilliant. So once again, thank you for coming in. I hope you'll be a guest again in the future.
I'd love that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Good Morning Marlowe on Marlowe FM 97.5.